T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome in. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is Monday. It is 6 minutes after the noon o'clock hour. And after managing the interesting traffic pattern that has developed right out front of our radio station, we have all made it. We are all here.
Yeah, one could say that Woodruff Road is on lockdown. It's ridiculous.
Man, we were going to get there, but if that's how you choose to use our Monday opening lockdown diesel, it belongs to you. Do what you wish.
Yeah, I try. There's a nice lady out there with cigarette in her mouth with a sign in a traffic cone, you know, working hard, holding up the sign.
Yep.
She wouldn't let me turn left. I was like, yep. I got to go right there. She's like, you got to stop. Okay.
They're doing some construction right outside of the building, and it has turned our little slice of the paradise that is Woodruff Road into quite the kerfuffle, if you will. Quite the little maze, the little quagmire down there. Look. We're going to do the show like normal, and I know that ordinarily, especially on a Monday, this is the point where we crack the mic, and I'm screaming and ranting and hooping and hollering and carrying on. But I feel like after what has been happening over the past 3 or 4 days, that we can't really just jump into a show and act as if the country is in great shape right now, because it's clearly not. We are going to do the show as normal. We are going to proceed as we always have in times of turmoil, in times of stress around the country, to provide an outlet, to try to provide a distraction, a comfortable little pillow fort that we can all dive inside to escape the real world when necessary, as we've been doing with this coronavirus pandemic since it feels like the day that I got here. So I wanted to say just a couple of things and see if Diesel has any thoughts on it as well after his week off evaluating the world from his new place. I wanted to say just a thing or two before we dive back into sports, before we go back to talking as if sports is the only thing that matters. What is happening right now is painful. It is disappointing. There's a lot of negative feelings, and I think it would be, I don't know that unfair is the right word. I don't think it would be unfair to start the show without addressing these things. But I think it is important to address these things. I think it is important to discuss these things that are impacting all of us around the country right now, even in small towns and small cities. I think it is important to address them. And then we can go back to what this show is supposed to be, which is, again, a welcome distraction from all of the terrible things that we have been experiencing over the past 3 months, 4 months or so. And all I want to say about it is this. It is more important now than it ever has been to listen to each other, and I'm talking about in every possible direction. It is important to listen to each other. It is important to understand where other people are coming from, why they are coming there. And it is important to recognize that, as cliche as it may sound, until you have walked a mile in another man's shoes, you cannot fully understand why that person feels the way that they feel, says the thing that they say, or do the things that they do, which is why it is important to understand. I have had this conversation with friends. I have had this conversation with family for years. Everyone has a different life experience that leads them to a different set of conclusions about life. And they are not right or wrong for reaching those conclusions based on their own life's experiences. It is not a bad thing that we have those differences. It is not a negative that everyone has a different life experience that leads them to different conclusions. The negative comes when we don't listen to each other. The negative comes when we don't understand why those differences exist. I heard a number of people this weekend fall back on the, well, I don't see skin color. You should. There's nothing wrong with seeing those differences. There's nothing wrong with wanting to question and understand those differences. What is wrong is pushing people away because of those differences. It is important to listen to what other people have to say. It is important to let those people have space to say the things that need to say, especially when those things impact their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. It is important to do your best to understand where people are coming from, understand their fears, understand their anger, understand their happiness, and understand their joy. It is important to go through all of those with people different than you to understand where they are coming from. The rioting that is taking place is frustrating to everyone, with the exception of a handful of agent provocateurs who are showing up for no reason other than to take advantage of an opportunity created by the frustration that is the driving force behind these riots. Why are people rioting? I have heard that question asked countless times over the past 3 or 4 days. There is a bona fide, justified reason why people are rioting. There is, if you will take a moment and dive deep, a systemic problem that people are trying to address. I had a conversation with a cousin of mine a couple of days ago, who I remember explicitly being upset about Colin Kaepernick taking a knee and LeBron and Kobe wearing shirts that say, "I can't breathe." And those things happened years ago. And for years, those types of protests not only went ignored, but those who protested peacefully were told, "Stand down, not the place, not the time." And those frustrations have continued to grow because in the minds of those people, the situations that created the need for those protests have not gotten better. It has pained me to see the loss of livelihood for people who have lost their businesses. It has pained me to see the people who have had their restaurants and their bars burned to the ground, have had their businesses looted and everything that they worked hard to create go away. But it has also frustrated me to see the continued lack of respect for other Americans displayed by some Americans that have created these frustrations and the undercurrents that have created the situation that we are in now. As mentioned, there are agent provocateurs who are going above and beyond to create more drama and more negative situations that must be accounted for. I saw a video that came out of one protest where two white people with masks on took spray paint and were vandalizing the outside of a Starbucks. And there were a number of African-American protesters who approached them and said, stop. This is not what we're here for. This is not what we're doing. And this is what's going to be broadcasted, not the peaceful side of things. I saw a video clip from one protest where a young white kid was using some sort of hammer to hammer up a sidewalk to create chunks of cement that he was then going to throw at police officers. And a handful of protesters grabbed that individual and brought him to the very police that they were protesting, told the police what he was doing, and he was arrested on the spot. In Shreveport, Louisiana, a place that has had a long history of strain between law enforcement and the minority population, I saw one police officer approach a number of protesters who were climbing on top of property at a courthouse and get them down. One young African American was crying because he knows that there has been a problem with the relationship between law enforcement and African Americans in that community. And he broke down crying because he knew things could get bad right there. And I saw a white police officer walk over, put his hands on that young man's shoulder, and tell him, it's okay. You're not in trouble. We're not here to hurt you. And this young man sobbing broke down and collapsed in the officer's arms, who just sat there and hugged him and told him, we are here for you. In Flint, Michigan, the newly elected sheriff and his staff, his crew, his deputies in riot gear confronted a group of peaceful protesters in Flint, Michigan. He, as a symbol of cooperation, walked over to them, put his helmet on the ground, put his baton on the ground, and told them, we are here for you, not against you. We are here with you, not to cause conflict. What can we do? They said, walk with us. And the sheriff's deputies and that sheriff walked arm in arm with protesters through the streets of Flint, Michigan. In Kansas, I saw a newly elected chief of police in a large city confront a group of protesters and take a knee in front of them and say, what questions do you have for me? I am here to help. And answer questions with those people. For 15 minutes, he just answered question after question after question to try to put their mind at ease. And then he walked with them. In Miami, Florida, I saw a large number of police officers and sheriff's deputies approach a protest that they were concerned was going to get unruly, and they took a knee in front of the protesters to show solidarity, and not a single problem happened. In New Orleans, Louisiana, the NOPD, which is historically known for being a corrupt police department, had zero issues, not an arrest, with protesters. In one of the most racially charged cities in the country, not a problem. Because people put those differences aside for a moment, and the police walked arm in arm with the protesters. In small cities around the country, I saw police officers come out and condemn the death of George Floyd and hold up signs that said, end police brutality. These officers of the law And these protesters, who are protesting the same agency, walked hand in hand down the middle of the street. In Pennsylvania, I saw one officer, full riot gear, who was cornered away from his unit, who was swarmed by protesters. And I saw 12, 13, 14 African-American men, part of the protest, form a circle, a barricade around this officer, link arms, and demand that the protesters not harm him. In another city, I saw an opportunistic agent provocateur who was live streaming the protest, walked up to a group of protesters and asked them to flip a truck over on video to show what they were protesting. And a large group of protesters, white, black, Asian, and Latino, all represented in that group, shunned him and ran him out of the area, screaming at him, "You're on camera. We will expose you for doing this." The reality of this situation is that the only way we are going to end this, the only way we are going to escape this, is not by pointing fingers and saying everyone on your side is wrong and I am right. That's not how it works. The only way we are going to end this is if every single person makes it a point in their life to understand where the frustration of the other side comes from. Why are you frustrated? What is your complaint? And what experiences have you had to justify that? And how can I help make it better? Because as long as we have agent provocateurs showing up and destroying things in the name of the protest, that is not the point of the protest. It is going to get worse. As long as we have people saying, your issue is not important and you are overreacting, stop. The people protesting will not stop. Until we have, there was one man who got out of his car, drove his car into a mob of protesters, got out, pulled out a compound bow and hunting arrows, and began pointing it at protesters who were not anywhere near him. Then, in a responsive act of understandable violence, those protesters attacked the man who seconds before was aiming a compound bow and hunting arrow at the bodies of protesters. And then when he was interviewed, he said, "Some black guys came up and punched me while I was in the window of my car." Until that stops, the protesters will not stop. Until the protesters understand that burning the livelihood of local businesses in their neighborhood is never going to get a response, that is not going to stop the people who are mad at the protesters. The only thing that is going to stop it are the interactions of the police officer in Shreveport, Louisiana, who hugged that young African-American protester who was crying out of fear for his life. The only thing that is going to stop it is the actions of the sheriff of Flint, Michigan, who put down his baton and helmet and marched hand in hand with those same protesters saying, if you will protest the way that you should protest, we will protest with you. The only thing that is going to stop it is the actions of the police chief in Kansas who took a knee and answered questions of the black community for 15, 20 minutes. It is the actions of the police officers in Miami, Florida, who took a knee with the protesters. That is what's going to stop. And understanding, a meeting in the middle to understand what are the problems and how are we collectively as Americans going to fix it. But tweeting hateful things, going out and slamming your skateboard through a window, not because you're protesting, but because you are an opportunistic jackass, those make it worse. And as long as those things continue to happen, these riots that we see are not going to stop. There was a protest downtown in Greenville, South Carolina this weekend. And as far as I know, the only issue came late at night when those out-of-town agent provocateurs decided that there wasn't enough conflict, and so they escalated it. But, for the record, there were also plenty of police officers who went out of their way to escalate situations as well. There were police officers who knocked an 80-plus-year-old man with a cane flat on his ass when he could not hear their lawful commands from behind their riot gear. Just knocked him over. 80-plus years old, walking on a cane. There was one agent in, I believe, South Florida, in a city that had a curfew, who did not like the way that a protester inside of her apartment building was protesting and repeatedly dared her to come outside, knowing full well that he could arrest her if she did. In Kansas City, police officers went marching down the street of a residence where there were no protesters in full riot gear and began shooting pepper paintballs at American citizens who were standing on the front porch of their own home, shooting at them. There was a CNN journalist who was arrested after minutes of asking police, "Where can I go in order to be in compliance with your lawful commands?" They arrested him and on the arrest report put that he disobeyed lawful commands when they, on camera, did not give him one. They lied about it. Until these types of things stop, until the bad people, both in and out of uniform, in the protest and in the law enforcement agencies, until the bad agents are called to the carpet and held accountable. That's what this is about. The fact that it took 3 days and outrage to arrest the officer who did what he did to George Floyd, that's what this is about. And until those types of agents, and including the agent provocateurs inside of the riots who are causing more problems unnecessarily for the sake of causing problems, until those people stop, this will not stop. Now, that's my take on it. I don't necessarily want to turn this into a 3-hour philosophical debate. I know that this is the longest first segment in the history of this show, but it felt important to me. Speak out against those who act against the common interest of everyday Americans. I'm talking law enforcement officials who abuse their power. They are being called to the carpet. Good. I am talking protesters who are not there to protest the good message, but to create chaos and further divide. Call them, hold them accountable. Our officials who sit by and let it happen, call them out, hold them accountable. Until all of us, as Americans who are tired of seeing what's happened, call people who are agents of chaos, wearing a shield, or holding a baton, or holding a skateboard and throwing rocks, until those people are called to the floor, the people who have a valid point in this protest will not stop. And that's it. I'm going to take a real quick break. If you'd like to contribute, you're welcome to at 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-GSP-ESPN. Text us at 71307. Email me personally if you would like. If you want to talk about this personally, I am happy to. RobBrown@ESPNUpstate.com. I am not afraid to have these conversations. If you want to talk non-sports related to this, RobBrown@ESPNUpstate.com. I'll have those conversations away from sports with you, or you can tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. Let's run to a very late break. We'll come back here in just a minute and roll on. I'm Rob Brown. Diesel's back in the driver's chair. It's the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Let's see here. ESPN is someone who normally loves the useless opening segment. Well, first off, Keegan, I'm offended. Thanks, though. This segment has been incredible and refreshing. Thank you for addressing this and not sweeping it under the rug. I don't think we can sweep this under the rug, right? I have said I have two conflicting positions on sports shows in a situation like this. One of them is that sports are our escape from reality. That's where we dive when we need to get away from the real world. We fall into sports. We fall into our favorite teams, our favorite athletes, playoff races, draft picks, etc. That's our escape from real life. However, the other side of that same coin is that sports does not exist in a bubble separate from real life. The players, the owners, the coaches, the referees, they are all human beings who live and work with us in this world. And so you cannot escape that. It has to be discussed. We cannot sweep it under the rug. When there is a large section of America that is so frustrated by what is happening in this country that they are willing to stand toe-to-toe in a series of situations where they can end up being severely injured. We have people who are losing eyes because they're getting hit in the face with rubber bullets and tear gas canisters. When there's this large of a contingent of the country that says we have a fundamental problem with the way this country is organized and structured to the point that we will go out and risk life and limb to show you our problem, you can't sweep it under the rug. That being said, I want to tout the other side of what's happening. Because there was also a moment over the weekend where I found myself sitting on a couch and smiling ear to ear. And that was the SpaceX Launch America, when the Falcon Heavy rocket took the Dragon crew capsule up to the International Space Station. If you missed out on that Saturday, you missed an incredible moment. The SpaceX rocket lifted off from Florida, traveled 22,000 kilometers, 200 kilometers above the surface of the Earth, traveling at over 2,200 kilometers per minute, some ridiculous speed. And then 19 hours later, that capsule docked with the ISS, and for the first time in far too long, Americans sent their own into space to move forward the human race, scientifically speaking. And it was an incredible moment. And as I watched that 10-second countdown, and I watched when ignition start at 2 seconds, and when I watched the Falcon Heavy lift off that launch pad, and I watched that rocket streak across the sky, I had a moment where I realized, and I'm sorry for being deep, I promise you I have a ton of sports to get to. As I watched that rocket streak across the sky, I thought to myself, this is what we are capable of. This is what we can accomplish. If we can stop, put everybody on equal ground, give everybody the same opportunities, the same foundation to work with. We are a people who are capable of creating, driven by a spirit of curiosity and adventure and determination. We are a group of people that can send members of our species out of the atmosphere into space, where they can conduct scientific experiments which benefit all of us. And that's what happens when we as a nation actually cooperate and listen to each other and understand each other and work with each other. That is what we are capable of. And it was an incredible experience. If you missed it, go to YouTube and search Falcon Heavy Dragon Crew Lift. You will see it. Watch it. If it doesn't change your perspective on the things that we as a nation are capable of, when we put these things behind us and actually cooperate, work together, work arm in arm, I don't know what to tell you. All right. We have hope. Hope is not dead. The country is, I saw so many people over the weekend, the country is not fallen. The country has not descended to a place that it cannot be pulled out of. But it is in a dark place. And the only thing that is going to pull it out of that dark place is all of us shining light on it together. All right, let me get away from this. It is time to talk sports, I promise. When we come back here in just a moment from right now, an abbreviated version of our lunch break down. Also, somebody in this radio station thought that they had jokes over the weekend. And those of you who have noticed, which by the way, you've noticed I have not dropped a pen during the show today. Somebody made a point to me over the weekend, and I'll tell you about that when we come back. Rob Dieselin, you, the Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, let's rock and roll, shall we? It's the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. Let us do a late but still important version of the lunch break down, the three things you need to know before you head off to talk about sports. Numero uno in today's lunch break down. Power Five commissioners have sent a letter to Congress urging federal law governing college athlete endorsements. The commissioners of the five biggest conferences in college athletics have written a joint letter asking for federal laws to regulate how college athletes can get endorsement money. The letter was obtained and made public by Stadium on Friday and continues the push from college athletics administrators for federal help in modernizing the NCAA's antiquated amateurism rules. As states have started passing their own laws allowing college athletes to make money off their names and images, the NCAA wants schools to have a broad federal law to follow to supersede individual state laws with varying specifics. What are they trying to prevent here? What they're trying to prevent is basically some states having very loose rules, some states having more strict rules, and basically giving some schools a built-in advantage by having their athletes have more opportunities to earn additional income. So if one state says, you can do this, the only thing you can't do is take money, say, hypothetically, from casinos. That's the only business you can't do, is you can't do gambling business. And then another state says, no gambling, no racing, no car dealerships, no grocery stores, and no something else. If another state, you can't have any of those, then if I'm a student who is a big-time player with the potential to make a lot of money just based on my name because I'm a standout student athlete, it is at that point that I would go, yeah, I'm going to go over to school A because I'd make as much money as I want there by showing up, just by being me. I get that. I don't hate it. I'm hoping that whatever they come up with isn't too strict, right? I have said for years, I'm not necessarily in favor of universities directly paying players. I have no problem with players being able to make a little money based on what they accomplish and who they are. Does that create a situation where athletes are effectively recruited by boosters? Maybe. Can you write it in that they cannot accept money until they are signed to a scholarship? Maybe. I don't know. This is one of those situations where I have a lot of concerns, not a lot of answers. And I've heard that expression many times. Do you ever had somebody tell you, well, unless you have a solution, don't complain about the problem? I hear that a lot. My justification is, yeah, I got to tell you, man, I'm not a five-star chef, but I know when my steak is burnt. You understand me? I don't need to know how to cook the best steak in America to tell you when my steak is well done, therefore burnt. Item number two, the NBA has announced that they are looking towards a July 31st target date for return to play, according to a report. According to Shams Charania of The Athletic, Commissioner Adam Silver on Friday told the NBA's Board of Governors that the league's goal is to resume play July 31st. If that timeline holds, it means the NBA would return after a four and a half month hiatus. The league was forced, obviously, to suspend play back in March. Games are looking to likely be held at ESPN's Wide World of Sports Complex in Orlando. On Saturday, the NBA announced it was having, quote, exploratory conversations, end quote, with Walt Disney, which owns the property, to resume the season at the 255-acre facility. The campus would serve as a single site for games, practicing, and housing. Now, obviously, the NBA does not have, as of yet, an elected playoff format on the table, though it does look like the top 16 teams and potentially from 20 to 22 teams could be included in a playoffs plus format. We'll get into that a little bit more in depth later on in the show. And finally, item number three, Major League Baseball's Players Association, in a last-ditch effort to save the 2020 season, which is looking more and more like it won't happen, has sent a counterproposal to the owners, including a 114-game regular season and giving players the right to opt out of the season entirely. It's not looking good for baseball. And if this happens, it will do irreparable harm to the sport. We will look at that with a little bit more depth later on the show as well. But let's take our final break of this hour. One segment left in hour number one. Back 2 hours, all sports. Rob Diesel, you, the Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate. I am so, so exasperated by what's going on with baseball. So exasperated by it. It's blowing my mind that baseball can't seem to get on the same page, right? This is a point where baseball could become everything that they, the opposite of what they became during the strike back in the 90s. I remember that strike, and I can tell you, I have not been the same baseball fan since then. I mean, I'm still a baseball fan, and I still love baseball, still a Braves fan, still watch, still enjoy, still love the sport. But I have not been the same baseball fan as I was when, and maybe it's because I lost my youthful love of the game. Maybe it's because I lost all of the childhood naivete that comes with being a young fan. But for whatever reason, I've never been the same towards the MLB as I was before the strike. And I'm calling the shot now. If baseball does not figure this out and move past this, it is going to have irreparable damage done. And I'm not even, here's the weird thing about this situation. I'm not mad at the players, and I'm not mad at the owners as individual groups. I think both of them have points. Yeah, I have to tell you, I kind of don't really shed too many tears for billionaire sports owners that are concerned over a few million dollars, but then again, they didn't become billionaires by not being concerned over millions of dollars here and there. That's how that racks up. The players on the other side, I get it. You're the one taking the risk of the coronavirus. You're the one putting your bodies on the line, your family's health at risk to play. You want the money. Both sides have very valid points. The problem is, both sides have valid points and don't seem to be coming to an agreement somewhere in the middle. And because of that, baseball is looking less and less likely. And Diesel, I don't know about you, man. I don't know what kind of damage gets done to the sport if they call the season before it starts and it has nothing to do with the coronavirus. Obviously, the situation's caused by COVID-19. But if they don't play not directly because of COVID-19, Diesel, baseball will have a lot of answering to do for a lot of years.
I love baseball. I grew up playing baseball. I love watching postseason baseball. But I'm with you. I can't find a reason to watch anymore if selfishness is the reason we don't have a baseball season.
Bingo. Let's take a break. Delvin, I see you on the line. I'll get you on the flip side, buddy. A lot to get into in hour number two. Rob Diesel, you, the Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.